Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening. You are listening to the Better Living Daily Radio Show. And I'm happy to be back this week. I missed being here last week. Just all kinds of craziness popped up. Wasn't able to pull off a show on Thursday or Friday. So we all have weeks like that, don't we? Today is May the 14th of 2015. This is a great week. I am not a big numbers person, but I am a pattern person. I love patterns, especially symmetrical type patterns, which is funny. If you knew my personality, that's probably the last thing you would think. You would think I was somebody who would like wild, bold, and asymmetrical stuff, but not so much. Anyway, this week, if you haven't seen it somewhere or heard it somewhere, is a week of, it's a number palindrome, basically, is what it is. Every day this week is the same forward and backward. So today, at least in the United States, we do our dates differently than my friends in the UK. So we always do the month first, then the day, then the year. So it is, where I am from, it is 5-1-4-1-5. All this week is that. And I know about, I can think of four people off the top of my head who have birthdays tomorrow. So big shout out to my brother who has a birthday tomorrow. And we won't talk about how old we are anymore, right? Oh, and welcome to Casey. She just popped into the chat room. And let's see, my best friend from high school, her younger sister, Missy, her birthday is tomorrow. One of my son's best friends, Peter, his birthday is tomorrow. And I can say how old he is because he's very proud of it. He is stepping into the world of adulthood. So happy 18th birthday to you, Peter. And I know there's more I'm forgetting. Happy birthday to my niece's husband, Richie, and my nephew, Matt. So, yeah, I know a few people with birthdays tomorrow. It's a little crazy. But anyway, back to the show at hand, if you will. It's a mouthful today. Today is the neurotic procrastinator assassination. And it was as hard to read about as it was to write that big old title in there. I am currently reading The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck. I don't know if anybody's read it. It's been around for years. And for some reason, I think I started it a couple times and it just didn't resonate with me before. But this time around, it's kind of mentally and emotionally kicking my behind in a good way, not in a bad way. It's not making me feel bad. It's just giving me, as always, as I'm always looking for new potential, new perspective. That's a new potential. That's always good too, right? Casey said she needs that assassin in Idaho. So hopefully this helps then, Casey, if I can finally get to the subject, right? But anyway, you know, in just the first few pages, I have been, and again, in a good way, to make me look at things I've not really looked at or look at them in a different way, and just help me to grow. And the first zinger was about procrastination. And, you know, I've been a master procrastinator for many, many years. basically as long as I can remember, because in grade school I remember that's when they started giving you longer term projects. I would always get an F on that one project. A's on all my homework, A's on all my tests. I would fail that project. Oh, Lord. And oh, would I get in so much trouble. You know, I had no idea about ADHD at that time, and had no idea about time management or breaking work into manageable chunks. So I failed over and over again because I would wait till the last minute. I didn't really understand the material or what was expected, and I would give a subpar product. So it didn't matter how smart I was, I just didn't get it. You know, and organizing all those thoughts and all that, you know. And the schoolwork wasn't the only place that showed up, obviously. My room was always a mess. And my mother had no idea how to teach me because she was born organized. Some people just know how to do it. It's just a gift that they have. My mom has that gift. She, my favorite, when my dad was still alive, my dad would get something out and go to get the rest of the things that he needed. He would come back and it would be gone because my mom had already put it away. I can't tell you how many times he would go, where are those scissors I got out? Mom would be like, oh, I thought you were done. I put them away. It was a running joke in my family. But, you know, just the thought of cleaning up that mess was just, it was incredibly overwhelming. And you know, my car was messy, my dorm rooms, oh, it makes me so sad for those who shared a room with me. So, you know, if anyone ever hears this or sees it that I roomed with, basically Terry, Mimi, Johanna, if any of you read the blog post that I'll put up in a little bit, or you hear this radio show, I apologize from the bottom of my heart for the mess you had to put up with when you were my roommate. I'm better now. I'm just sorry you didn't get to see it, you know, but I didn't know any better then. And, you know, very little complaints from any of the three of them. They were all just delightful human beings to be a roommate with. So, you know, for me, it really wasn't until my third child was born that I finally really began to get a handle on how to run a household. And I found resources and I helped our home to become a place that we love to be rather than a place that we were happy to get away from. And, you know, over the last few years, I've kind of gotten to a place where my home looks good. I love my life. Most days we do really well. But I know there's another level. You know, there's always another level, isn't there? We never get there. We never get it done. Isn't that amazing? Every once in a while you want to go, I just want to sit and bask in the glow, and then you realize, yeah, I got more to do. And for me, you know, I do love my life, and most days we're doing well. But, you know, I could have, my health could be better. My fitness, not necessarily my health. I'm very healthy, but my fitness could be better. I could get so much more out of my house, progress on our finances, you know, but knowing those things and doing them are sometimes two different things. And what I'm finding, you know, one of the great things is when you learn your kind of your natural rhythm. My natural rhythm is I have a lot of energy in the morning and I get a lot of things done. I get done literally more between 6:30 in the morning. I get up at 6, I'll get my kids off to school. But between 6:30 and about 10 in the morning, I get more done in those few hours than I get done the entire other 12 to 13 hours of my day. And I know that, so it's good that I can kind of front load everything. But sometimes it feels like enough, but most of the time I know it really isn't, because there's so much more to the day that I could be doing, and I'm not doing it. And I'm maintaining, but I'm not gaining any ground. So, you know, I read something in the book, as I said, that just really amazed me, because the idea is basically that if you value yourself, you value your time. And I've read that probably, I don't know, maybe a dozen times, something to that effect. But this time it stuck for whatever reason. This week it has really changed how I look at everything I do. And I had kind of an epiphany of about my wasted afternoons and the wasted evenings. It's amazing how when we're tired, we just plop on that couch and we turn on the TV and that we're done. You know, I place a high value on my morning time because that's when I have this boundless energy, or it feels boundless until I hit about noon. And I am one of those people, you know, I annoy people all over the place because I wake up happy. And I'm cheerful, and I know that that's a rare thing, and I do my best to keep my cheerfulness on a low level for some of my family members' sakes. It really has baffled me how I've been able to get more done in those few hours than I have the rest of the day. And I'm beginning to understand it a little better with the help of the book. I'm beginning to face things I've never faced before, and I can already see a shift. And it's interesting that they talk about how procrastination is connected to responsibility and how we view the world and our responsibility for our lives. And the book talks about there's basically two tendencies regarding responsibility, and we all lean towards one or the other. And the terms sound bad, but when you listen to the explanation, it really starts to make sense. Because it says we all either lean toward neuroses or we lean toward character disorder. And basically, neurotics assume too much responsibility, and those with character disorder don't assume enough. They blame on everyone else. And that's not to say, you know, like I said, that we all have a mental disorder. It's just the term he uses. And there's, you know, there's a scale, obviously. So he's just saying that when it comes to responsibility, people tend to think that either everything is their fault or everything is someone else's fault. Now, I happen to fall into the first category. You know, I always think that my life would be better, everything would be better if I could just be better. You know, my house would be cleaner if I spent more time cleaning, you know, if I spent more time doing everything. You know, I must not be a good enough house manager, or my house would look more like a magazine. My finances would be better if I could just manage them better because, you know, there's people out there who seem to be doing so much better than we are with less money coming in. You know, my body would be in better shape if I could just be more consistent in my eating and workout patterns, no matter what my genetics or body type or life circumstances might be. You know, I should be able to overcome everything by sheer will and determination. You know, that's it's a bit of an exaggeration, but not too much. You know, and people on the character disorder side of the equation tend to deny their own responsibility for their life circumstances, and they put the blame elsewhere. You know, as a stay-at-home mom, they would blame their kids because their house is a mess and cluttered. In the financial realm, you know, everything would be better if their spouse didn't spend so much money or if their kids didn't cost so much to raise. They'd be in better health if their family would just pitch in and help around the house so they could have time to go to the gym. Well, mail must be here. if you can hear my dog in the background, I don't know if you can, but she's barked. You know, and if any of it sounds familiar, or am I the only one? I don't know. But it all started to click with me. And, you know, the interesting thing is that both tendencies make you feel like this powerless victim. And the cure for that is awareness. When you become aware of your tendencies and your own value, you start to live differently. And, you know, a lot of times we associate our self-worth with our to-do list. And because I'm a doer, I've very much been like that for a good part of my life. But what I'm beginning to realize is that my self-worth has nothing to do with how much housework I get done or how many projects I accomplish. I just know I feel better when I'm in the process of creating a better life for myself and my family. So it's not dependent on the fact that I have to clean a certain thing every day or so many times a day. It is just the act of blessing my family and making a more loving, mature home for ourselves. That's where the blessing lies. That's where the value is. So if I spend an afternoon or evening doing nothing but watching reruns on TV, I feel like I've wasted the day. I feel like I've wasted a part of my life I can't get back. And it makes me angry with myself. Unfortunately, it was always at the end of the day that I would have that little, you know, smackdown with myself. You know, some people do the same with video games, online games, reading, crafting, Netflix, whatever your particular vice may be to distract yourself from life. People use it to ignore the many things they think they should, and I put that in quotation marks. I'm doing air quotes just in case you can't see me. Because you have choice. Now, there's some places that people don't have a choice. But I would imagine everybody who's listening to me, if you've got the privilege of being able to do that, you have the ability to choose. So even if it's at the prompting of someone else, it's not about what you should do. And I think that's an aspect they ought to understand. You know, we have power and we have choice, but we generally give it away through blame, criticism, internal drama at yourself or at somebody else. For me, it's myself because I take it all on. It's all my fault. Other people put it on somebody else. You know, what if, and here's my what if, because there's always a what if, right, with me. What if we just stopped complaining and we looked at our circumstances and we just faced them? What if we decided to live the way our internal senses tell us we should live? If we do it our own way, do we think our spouses would be angry with us? Do we think our parents wouldn't approve of the way we live? Do we think others would have to change for that to happen? And does any of that matter? Because when you first suggest to someone that every single circumstance in their life is something they choose, a lot of people get angry because they swear they wouldn't have chosen a certain circumstance. We're all like, no, I wouldn't have chosen that. You know, and some don't. I understand there are health issues. You didn't choose to have it, but you choose how to move forward with it. Even if it's by attitude, you choose whether you're a victim or not. And I'll give you a few examples from my own life. I found out at around age 40, that I had ADHD. Yeah, I've never been officially diagnosed, and I know that upset some people, but trust me, with my son's diagnosis, walking through everything we've walked through, I know in my heart of hearts that I have it. It explains so much about my life when I started down this road and learning about it, but I didn't want my son to use it as an excuse. So I don't use it as an excuse. It was a great explanation for a lot of things and a great place to start. So I began to look for a lot of holistic ways to deal with it because my body generally doesn't respond well to pharmaceuticals. And I found several ways that help. And even if it gets the best of me one day, I can keep things from spiraling for 2 or 3 weeks because that's what used to happen. And, you know, Casey's talking about having a bad day. We all have a bad day. We all have a slow day. We all have a day we don't get everything done we want to. But we just, you know, we don't have to spiral, which is what I used to do. It was amazing when I started looking at my patterns, and I'd start the month really well, and then I'd fall off for about a week or two, and then I'd finish really well. And I'm thinking, well, what's happening in the middle there? You know, so when you start becoming aware of it, it's amazing how you can start to change it. That's the big thing. You know, one of my sons also has a medical condition, the same one that's got ADHD, and so he can't be medicated for it. So we have to find other ways to make it work. He requires a large amount of my time and attention, and so I've chosen not to re-enter the workforce. I could... I could, and just let him kind of sink, because that's what would happen. So I make a different choice. And it helps me to know about those big decisions. But what I didn't realize is that I wasn't applying those principles to my little everyday decisions. And this past week, I've been consciously thinking about my time every day. And when I choose to sit on the couch to relax, it's a conscious decision rather than, you know, you just flopping down on the couch, exhausted, flipping on the TV, and there goes the day. It's a very conscious thing. This book has helped me realize, you know, how much of my life I've been wasting. And the change has just been amazing because my list is still as long as it's ever been. But instead of being overwhelmed by it, it's just a list. It's a list that I chose to write. Really, there's nothing on it I have to do. That's a big key right there. If I cross 10 things off, I'm going to move on to the next day. If I cross one thing off or no things off, I'm going to move on to the next day. You know, whether I'm cooking, cleaning, watching TV, exercising, sleeping, writing, running errands, you know, hanging out with my friends on Facebook, every moment of my day is a choice. Or it can be chaos. And this is going to sound weird, but sometimes it's good to have the chaos. Because what it helps you do is it helps you to define what you really want. And what you're really willing to let go of. You know, in my family, two of us love to golf. Three of us could take it or leave it. Two would be out there every day if they could. The other three can find much better ways to spend 5 hours and a bunch of money because it brings some joy. The rest of the family wishes them well. And guess what? It's not a compromise. It's a choice. They live a certain way that brings harmony and peace to them, and we do the same. So obviously I'm not one of those two. But the other thing I realize is I have a house that I could clean every minute of every day and never be finished. This is why so many of us hate laundry, because you can do it every day and there's still going to be more. I have a body that I want to get in better shape. I have dreams. I have goals. I have children that still need my attention for them to become well-disciplined, happy adults. But I've begun to see how precious and valuable every moment of my day truly is. And how valuable my contribution is to my home. And, you know, I won't say it doesn't matter what my family thinks, because I choose to make that part of my parenting and part of my marriage. In the parenting way, to teach my children to appreciate those who support them in their lives. But what matters more is what I think of me and my life than what others think of me and my life. You know, in the U.S., this past Sunday was Mother's Day. And some days I think that's the day, those are the kind of days that bring out what I call the ugly in our hearts. It's a time when we see what we think we're missing, where we haven't finished grieving, where our perceived shortcomings are, and generally what isn't right with us or right with somebody else. I'm speaking, again, from my neurotic perspective as opposed to the character disorder perspective. You know, it's a time that we can feel really bad. But what if we did something different, pain, the next time we feel it? What if we express gratitude for the pain? What if we look at it for the gift that it could be? But if we think we're missing something, that we make plans to do the things that you think you're missing. Or at least make plans to do just one thing. If you're missing a parent, why not make a plan to be a better parent? Honor your parent in that way. If we feel grief, be thankful for the love that we had. Celebrate the life. I love the saying that it's better to forget and be happy than to remember and be sad. Because, you know, you see that around holidays, how people are so miserable and they miss their loved ones. And I'm not saying get over it, but what I'm saying is think about it this way. Do any of us have a loved one that's passed that we think would say, okay, be miserable every holiday? I want you to be miserable because you miss me so much. I mean, do we really think that our loved ones are saying, yeah, boy, you know, that shows how much people love me. Look how miserable my family is. That is some good stuff. No, you know, I do miss my dad sometimes. He's been gone for 18 years. But when he was here, oh my goodness, I'm down to 90 seconds. You know, when my dad was here, he was in pain physically and emotionally. And I choose to believe he's in a better place. And I choose to allow him the joy and not tether him with my pain. I am reading, again, the book, The Road Less Traveled. I'd love to have you join me in it. You can send me a message on Facebook. I will be posting this as a blog post because there's some stuff I'm not going to get to today. It just happens when you're down to 60 seconds. So thanks for being here. Have a great day. Have a great week. Hoping I'll see you again next Thursday. And until then, I love you all. Have a good one. Bye-bye.